So I guess we're going to start. So I want to do, before we left some problems here, but before we do that, David, you heard yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You heard it too, right? Okay. So before we get to some answers, I'd like to do some Gemara first. Let's just get some shot in the Gemara and see where this whole thing comes from, some of the psukim. Yeah, and then we'll go further. Could someone give me a chumash? Or is that a chumash there? There's a box. They should have chumashim in the back. There should be a box. Okay, so it says like this. Okay, thanks.
Okay,
so it says, Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Lord Devach Shvero, Lahargo, Shanita Lansil Vanaf. So how do you know if someone is running after his friend to kill him that you're allowed to save him with his life? You're not allowed to stand over the blood of your friend. So it means that if your friend's blood is being spilled, you're not allowed to stand idly by and let it be spilled. Okay? Rashi. Don't stand on his blood. Rather save him. Means you're not allowed to just let him die. Rather, you must save him. Right? That's the opposite. Don't stand there. It means rather save him. Right, so that's what it means. I mean, you're obligated to save. So you say you have to save the guy who's being killed. Okay, so the Gemara says, does it come to teach you this, that you kill a guy, you kill the Rodef in order to save the other guy, but don't you need it for this? How do you know if you see a guy drowning, or an animal is attacking him, or a thief is coming on him? They have to save him. So it teaches you, you can't stand there and let him die. Right? Okay, what's the difference? Isn't that the same type of thing? Okay, good, right, exactly. So the point is that, yeah, of course, so some of that teaches you that you have to save someone from dying. But that's not exactly the chiddush in Rodef. The chiddush in Rodef is nitan lahatzilo benapsho, that you have a right to kill the other person, to kill the pursuer. That's not just saving. That's not just saving a life. That you're saving one life and killing another life. So that's a whole different story. Of course, if you could save a Jewish life, of course you have to do it. But here, it's a trade. You're trading the nirda for the rodef. So that already, you can't just say, because you're not allowed to stand idly by and watch a guy get killed. I'm not standing idly by. What is my other option? My only option is to kill this other guy. So how do you know I have a right to take the law into my own hands and kill him in order to save him? That you can't just use a generic idea that I can't stand by another guy's blood. That's a whole different story. So it's not so fast. Just because it says you shouldn't stand by a guy's blood doesn't mean this. The more things, you need another source. You can't just use the generic source that you're obligated to save somebody's life to teach you that you're obligated to kill the rodef and save the nirdaf. That's a whole different dimension in the case, that it's not just generic. And the pasuk is teaching you the generic halacha that you have to save a person's life. But when you're in the case of a rodef, it's not just saving a life. The question is, do I have a right to save this life at the expense of the other life? That's already, you need another limit for it. And that's what I said. You're right, obviously. So where do you know that it's given over to save him with his life? You know, where do you know that from? That's the benafsho is the point. Because saving him is one thing. That's the chiddush. How do you know that? That you need another source. It's true. I mean, David's point, yeah, it's true. Is that again, it seems like here, with who are we saving here? Sounds like we're talking about saving the pursued. Right, the nirdaf. Okay, I think we can go with nirdaf and rodef. In English, it's complicated. Nirdaf is the one who's being chased, and rodef is the chaser. Okay, so yeah, it sounds like we're talking about saving the nirdaf. Right, because lo samar al damrecha, don't stand by his blood, means don't stand by and let him be killed. So now we're talking about rather save him. Save who? Right, Rashi says rather save him. So save who? So not talking about saving the sinner. He's talking about saving the rodef. He's talking about saving the guy whose blood is about to be spilled. So I mean, you see, this problem is that these things are going back and forth, right? That's the problem. I know. That's a good point. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Asi b'kal v'chomer minaron marasa." Okay. So for the time being, there's a premise that if one chases, is chasing a girl, an aramurasa, to rape her, that you save her life. You save her life even if you have to kill the rapist. Okay? That comes from the Gemara later, says, I'll jump down to it, v'naramurasa gufe minalan, because again, it's going to learn killing for naramurasa. So the Gemara is going to go through the whole thing and then say at the end, and say, oh, hold on a second, where, how do you even know if I know naramurasa? So I'm just going to jump to that part. I mean, it's going to work that way sometimes. It's taking that as a premise, but then it's going to question it afterwards. So it's just a few lines down. Mi'urasa is the beginning line. V'naramurasa gufe minalan, so I'm skipping, okay? Even so it's saying is that it's talking about if a girl is raped, so you don't punish her, she's off the hook, because she was crying out and she was being chased. Let me see the exact text. So the pasuk is chaf beis, I guess chaf ay, right? Okay, so the first case is the parsha before it is talking about if a man and a woman have this affair, then you kill them both. Okay, fine. Then it says in basada yimtzai shavifadam asan amarasa. If he finds her in the field, the hechzik ba'gashashav, and he grabs her and he sleeps with her, umei soyishah shechashav milavado. Then only the man is put to death, right? V'lanara lo sasa dalvar, but you don't do anything to the girl. In lanara chein mavas, she doesn't have a capital sin. It's just like if someone comes and kills somebody, the victim didn't do anything. So to this, she's just a victim. What'd she do? So she's involved in the action, but I mean, she didn't do anything. She's being raped. It's funny how I mean, all right? What's, of course. Right? What do you think? You kill her? What'd she do? So then it says, Kiva saw them and saw, because he found her in the field. So she cried out. And there's no one there to save her. There's no one there to save her, right? The implication is, but if there were someone there to save her, then the person would be obligated to save her, okay? Then he'd be obligated to save her. And the deduction is, no matter what, because it shouldn't say the Ein Moshiach, it shouldn't say there's no one there to save her, it should be, and he wasn't able to save her because he would have to kill the other guy or something like that. Like, the Ein Moshiach means that if there is a guy there, the implication is deducing that if there's a guy there, then he has to save her. Yeah. Is that on this? I don't think so. Okay. Let's leave it go. Whatever. You could argue the limit or not. For the time being, let's take it as a given. Okay. Because what we're saying is that you see that you have a right to save her no matter what. So that's basically... Okay, so maybe we get to this on a later point, but whatever. So the deduction is that you could deduce it from the psukim, it's saying it's clear that you have that if there is a guy there to save her, then he saves her. No matter what. Okay? No matter what. Okay? So therefore, in order to prevent rape, it's an open deduction from the pasuk that you kill the rapist to prevent it. So now our question is, and what about by death? So the Gemara says, you know, it's a kavachomer. Okay, what's a kavachomer? Ma'na, shaloba elapogma. Just like if na'amarasa, where he's only trying to, I guess, to, how do I try to say this? To, like, degrade her, right? To degrade her. Amra tarnitan silva na'avsho. Torah says, you could save her, matzila. You could save her, right? This is what I was saying. Save her with this guy's life to prevent her from being degraded. It says, if the guy's trying to actually kill the person, of course you could save the victim. So the Gemara says, so it's very nice. It's a good kal v'chomer, but it's punishment. You're trying to punish him. And punishing, well, that's the problem. That's the problem here. It's not exactly a punishment, but leave that alone. So you're punishing the guy, and in general, you can't use a kal v'chomer to punish a guy. So since the guy is getting killed based upon this, so it's like a punishment. And a punishment, you can't use kal v'chomer. That's a principle. You can't punish a guy based on kal v'chomer. Okay, so it's a good logic, but it's not a sufficient source to learn out this halacha. Because of universal principle, you can't use kal v'chomer to teach punishments. I know, it's a problem. We're going to have to get to it. But the problem is this isn't an onesh. So on the surface, it's not an onesh. It's a matter of saving him, even with... saving the victim even with his life. You're not punishing him, Yeah, I mean, you punish him in Beis Din afterwards. You don't punish a guy before he did the crime. It's not, is that a punishment? That's a problem. I mean, we have to get that. But for the time being, let's leave that alone also.
Well, exactly.
It's good. I mean, it's good Havmin. Havmin is, of course, it's not onesh min hadin. It's nothing to do with onesh. But the Maskana apparently is saying that extending onesh min hadin more than you would have naturally thought. Okay, again, you know what is, you can't punish from a kavod chomer. It's extending it, right? I mean, that's what we're going to have to do at some point. But I don't, this is already details of the Gemara. We don't have to do this right now. Okay? But it's very interesting. Maybe we get to get it. Fine. So, okay, so the Gemara moves on, right? So you can't learn out from the kavod chomer, even though it sounds like very logical. By the way, Bruno mentioned this, because what's in the kavod chomer? It's implying is that why you have a right to kill him, to kill the guy, who are you saving in this kavod chomer? Saving the...
The
Nirdaf. Yeah, the person who's being chased, right? Because he's saying she's only being pogum, right? She's being degraded, he's being killed. I mean, it is certainly the implication from this whole discussion is that you're saving the victim. You're comparing which victim is worse. I mean, if you tell me the whole thing is about the crime, say, well, hold on a second, let's compare the crimes. Let's compare the... I know, but I'm saying is like, if you're telling me the whole essence here is saving a guy from doing an Avera, well, let's talk about which Avera is worse. Don't just compare them based upon who's getting worse thing happening to them. Tell me, is it Raya's worse or is killing worse? Right? I mean, it's certainly bringing in, again, the victim. Again, this is kind of why I wanted to do the Gemara. I mean, it supports our, it supports what we were saying yesterday. The victim is certainly essential here. Okay, so then the Gemara just finishes up. It says, no, so you can't learn it out from a Kavachomer, but it says, Ella, this is a leave of interesting leave in its own right. It says, Tana Akesha. I'm sorry, debate. Then the Bei Rebbe Tana Hakeshahu. So it's basically learned out from a the right size. It's a hakesh, a comparison, because the comparison said is ki kasher kemeshrayot tachanafash. Says just like if a person chases someone and kills them, so too this rape. So it compares rape and killing. So it says v'chimal manu ratzeach me'ata izabal lamin esalamid. Ma'akesh ratzeach lam rasa. Man rasa nitan seven avshav ratzeach nitan seven avshav. Okay, so I don't want to get into the technical details here, but the basic line is that there's a comparison clearly, explicitly, the pasuk is comparing rape and killing. And since we know rape, you could kill the rodef to prevent rape. So too, by comparison, you could learn that you have a right to kill. Yes, yeah, so right, exactly. Still learning from Aharon Rasa, just not from a kal v'chomer, it's coming from the pasuk's juxtaposition of the two, which is that you have a right to do, even you have a right to punish a guy based upon juxtaposition. I think so. Well, that gets into the reasons, but you could punish based on hekesh. Let's just take that. Okay, you ain't on shem and din, but you could punish based upon hekesh. So this is hekesh. It's a perfectly good hekesh, a comparison, and therefore you have a right to you punish the guy based upon the hekesh, and that's and therefore you're killing the. Therefore, you kill the rodef, both in the case of death and then the case of rape. Okay. It's not exactly, I mean, the hekesh, the Kal v'chomer is saying is that we know it by rape, and logically it stands to reason if the same thing, if it applies by rape, which is only rape, certainly by killing, which is much more severe. So you're using like a logical inference. A hekesh is saying, what? Yeah, the positive one's worse, right? But in a hekesh, you're just saying, I don't know, which one's worse, better, I don't know. I just know the Torah wrote these two things. It compared the two. For what reason? The Torah's comparing it, there must be some halacha that is teaching me. The Torah doesn't have to bring in a comparison. Well, who needs to compare it? Tell me rape, tell me the halacha about rape. Who needs to compare it to killing? So the fact the Torah draws a comparison must be to teach us that there's a halacha that you should extend from one to the other. So therefore, what's the halacha? And this is the halacha. This is halacha, so it's not. I mean, there still is some sort of, you have to figure out what the halacha is, but that's Torah's going out of its way to teach us that. Okay, so that you could do for that. That you could kill, punish a guy based upon that, because that's, I guess, in the psukim. It's not just based upon a logical deduction of your own. That's the psukim are clearly alluding to something, and the Masorah tells us this is what it's alluding to. Okay, fine. So basically, we're back to our problem, though. Right, the basic problem is, what is this? Is this whole thing in order to save the victim or to save the sinner? And to save the rodev or save the nirdaf? And it seems like there's a combination of factors. You only apply it where there's both he's doing this terrible crime, and also, like erva or ayos, and also where there's a victim who's being embarrassed and degraded. So there's a combo deal. If you only have the crime like Shabbos or Avodah Zarah, which are terrible crimes, but there's no victim, then you don't do it. And if you only have a victim, let's say some other sexual rape, let's say, but you don't have the terrible crime of Arayos, then you don't have it either. So there's a combo deal here. Okay? And that's the question, is how do you work out this combination? And also the problem is why he keeps going back and forth. He's saving her, he's saving him. Right? Okay. By the way, I mean, I'll just say, it's worth at some point to look at the Rambams. Basically, it's in Rotech Shmios Nefesh. Basically, the first parak. I mean, I don't know if it's every single halach in the first parak, the ones which are, you know, but anyways, might as well worth reading. I mean, he kind of has a somewhat of a lengthy exposition about, you know, Rodef and killing, and why not? You know, we're kind of doing Rodef. We're going to do Rotzeach anyways, killing. It's probably worth, you know, being somewhat familiar with the first parak. So on your own, you know, just, you could skim over the first parak of the Rambam. It's kind of similar to, it reminds me of what you're saying a little bit, David. So, I mean, this thing is generally we don't kill somebody preemptively, you bring it to Beis Din. You're not a judge, bring him to a judge. But like, here is like an exception, you know? Yeah. Okay, yeah, interesting. And thing like this, I mean, we'll see, this is tentative, but that really what's going on here is, essentially it's an idea of saving the victim, okay? That there's a halacha of, like, for instance, the Gemara, Losam Adam Re'acha, you can't allow a person to die, to end up to die, you're not allowed to allow a person to die. And you have to make sure you save a human, a Jewish life, okay? So if you see a guy drowning or whatever, you're obligated to step in. See, now you see a guy basically about to die, so you'd have to step in. The problem is that your same obligation of saving one Jewish life is at the expense of the other Jewish life. So that's like the we read yesterday, Ein docha nefesh b'nei nefesh, that you have here a conflict between two lives. They can't both exist. In other words, if you're going to save, if you let this guy die, he'll die. If you save him, you're going to kill the other guy. So it's, even though, you know, if you want to save the guy who's about to be killed, but the only way to do so is going to undermine another life. And the whole principle, like almost like, what have you gained? You get one life or another life. Okay, so you're not really gaining anything. So the mechanism of the situation of there's a generic kli of hatzolos nefashos, saving a Jewish life, but and that kicks in here, but the problem is that the only way to execute it is to execute him, right? Is to give up another life, which is, again, it's like a self-defeating action to kill him and save him, right? So you're kind of at a crossroads. What are you going to do? It's like you want to save his life, but saving his life undermines his life.
You have the same problem in self-defense?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know about self-defense. I'm not sure. But in theory, yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay, so now what happens? So it could be is that you're at a position where you can't decide. You're stuck. Right? You're stuck. So one solution would be just shave al-tasa. Just sit there, don't do anything. Right, that's what happens, for instance, if a guy puts a gun to your head. A guy forces you, says, puts a gun to your head, says, kill him or I'll kill you. So you can't do anything. You have to sit. Okay, you can't decide between lives. And basically you have to sit there and don't do anything. If he, on the contrary, takes you and throws you onto somebody, right, and is going to kill someone using you, also you sit and you let him do it. Because again, you can't decide you or him. Simply, you can't decide. That's a principle. For instance, if a guy is forcing you, the shev al tasa, that could have been a resolution. You sit and don't do anything. But in the case of Rodef, the Torah posits a different resolution, and the resolution is that there is a deciding factor, which is hatzala min ha'avera. Okay, which is the fact. There's a deciding factor, there's a weight on one side, which is that you have a guy who's about to do an avera, and in general there's a principle of saving a person from avera. Okay, save a person from avera. So you have here on one side, if you save if you kill the rodev, so you're saving the nirdaf from death, and you're saving the rodev from avera. If, on the other hand, you leave it alone, you don't do anything, so it's true, you're saving the rodev because you're not killing him, you're letting the other guy die. In other words, you have a life, the point is that in saving the rodev, there's two things going on. You're saving the rodev and in saving the nirdaf, you have two things going on. You're saving the nirdaf from death, and you're saving the rodev from avera. So that like weights the side. The Hatzalah says when you have to decide this life or that life, whose life are you going to defend, whose life are you going to protect? So you have an additional thing, is that you're not only you're saving his physical life, but you're saving his spiritual life, his avera life. You're protecting him from violating this terrible avera of arayos, which is terrible. I mean, there has to be a certain and you have to draw a line of how terrible avera has to be in order to say you're like saving his life, but in order to weight it. I mean, that's a matter of the degrees. At what point do you say this? But the idea is that the Matzilin Oso is saying is because without the factor of saving, this is what Rashi is focusing on, that without the fact that you're saving the rodef, so now you can't say I'm involved in Hatzalas Nefashos. So I'm saving the Nirdaf, but I'm killing the rodef. So what's the, it's a wash. So the thing is the deciding factor and what's allowing you to act here is that you're saving the rodef. But similarly, you could equally say that later on describing you're saving the nirdaf. They're both true. But the deciding factor is that you're saving the rodev from his avera, and that's why you need both factors. You need it to be that first of all that the avera is intense, is a serious avera, so that you're really, the saving of the rodef is up to par. Apparently, just the less thing, you're saving from the little minor thing that doesn't have the weight to be a deciding factor. And also, but if you don't have the fact that you're saving har, if there's no victim, if it's just Shabbos, so it's very nice, you want to save him, but there's no clash. In other words, if you have a clash between one life and another life, or life and horror degradation, which is on par, okay, that's also of that caliber. So then you could talk about saving them from Avera as the Machria. Machria is the decider. Decider between these two things happening. You decide using the Den Hatzalah. Yes, Raven and Zeth are equivalent, or categorically. I mean, that's the limud. You would know that. I mean, the Gemara tries to push the line of where, you know, how far do you say that?
But it's only Raven for Rios.
Yes, only Raven for Rios, correct. Because that's different. I mean, that's what it's the worst begam. It is. Societally, socially, she's involved in Rios. It's different. The Gemara learns it out. The Gemara gets into it, but it's much worse. I mean, it's, in a Torah society of Rios, it's much worse. But give me 1 second. So the thing is, and this is what the Mishnah is teaching you, is that you have this institution of Hatzalah from Avera, and you kill someone, you kill him to save him from Avera. Is that an intrinsic halacha, that you kill someone to save him from a terrible Avera? Then it would have been even by... is it pshat that saving from Avera is more important than saving life? You know, then you'd say, even by Shabbos, even by Vodazara. So it says, no. Hatzalah from Avera does not trump life. But what it does is, if you have a crossroads, it's a machria. It's a machria, a deciding factor between life and life. Or between, let's say, rape and life. Whereas when you have that through the role, the Hatzalah from Avera could decide life when it's a deciding between two lives. But it can't on its own right trump life. You can't say, look, should I let him die or should I let him save him from Avera? Kill him, or you know, let the guy do the avera, or kill him. That there's no halacha like that. It doesn't, can't kill him to prevent him from avera per se. That's what I'm just telling you. There's no intrinsic halacha. You could have had that. There's no intrinsic halacha like that. It's based upon osam al dam reyacha, that there's an idea of saving life. He's thrown into the ballpark of saving this guy or that guy, and this is the deciding factor of which one you save. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like that. It's like the Mishnah is saying is ve'elu hein shematzilin l'slamin afshan. So I guess the Rambam kind of emphasizes a little bit in the Perush Mishnayos, but it's like there's a phenomenon of saving a person from doing avera. That's a phenomenon. In general, you try to save someone from doing avera. But how far do you go in saving a guy from preventing a guy from doing avera? Do you actually kill him? In these cases, you do. That's the thing. Ve'elu shematzilin l'slamin afshan. That intrinsically saving a guy from avera, you don't go that far. You don't kill a guy to prevent him from avera, because he'll end with avera and he'll live. He'll be able to live a life out of him, whatever. In general, you don't. But in these cases, where you have, see, in general, you can't just decide to start killing people. But here, when you have a situation that you already have someone's dying and you have a clash, dead and dead, so then you say hatzalah. Then the halacha of saving a person from avera even goes so far, and it basically will allow you to decide between these two lives. But the subject of the Mishnah is saving a guy from doing avera. That's the point of this Mishnah. Otherwise, if you just had the idea of saving a life, I guess that's what you're saying, David. If you just had saving the victim, that alone doesn't give you any right to kill, because the life ain't el chenefesh mei nefesh. You can't push like one life for another life. So the essential factor here is the fact that you're dealing with that's all from avera. That's the point. Is if you're just dealing with saving life, this is what you normally think. The normal way you think of it is that, look, you have a right to save the victim. Not true. The attacker is also a person. He's a human being. So how do you choose? Well, who said he forfeited? Where does it say that you forfeit? You know, forfeit, if you bring it to a court, then you decide that you forfeited. But there's no halacha that says if you try to kill somebody, you forfeit.
How can you ever self-defense?
Who said you do self-defense? Yeah, but I don't know, is that the same thing? I mean, I don't know. That's itself a discussion. It doesn't. On the surface, it doesn't. Where does it say? What does this Mishnah say about? Is there like a premise in?
That's fact.
Is it? What's the fact, though? Where is that? I'm just saying, is that based upon Rodef also? Is that also based on Rodef? Is that like a separate institution that there's like an axiom that you can kill yourself? Is that, where does that come from? I mean, who said I could do that? Why is that so clear? Isn't that also a question? I'm killing a person, taking the law into my own hands. Isn't that, I mean, maybe that's also Rodef. I'm just saying, I don't know where that, I mean, it's...
I don't know.
So it's hard to use that as a question. That's seemingly...
If she's doing it.
But in theory, if she's doing it, but if someone else is doing it, usually it's the doctor or whatever else, you know? But whatever. But the point is that the basic idea is that, look, ein docha nefesh mei nefesh means you can't decide one life over another life. Like, again, you can't say self-defense is just a word. It's, I mean, you can't decide between lives. So it's very, this guy is a bad guy? Okay, fine, but so you still can't decide between lives. Let's say you have to decide, who are we going to kill? You have the guy who say, we have to kill one guy. We can either kill the Gadol HaDor or the bomb on the street. So you can't decide, we don't decide between lives. Life is a life, and I is an Avarian, sorry, it doesn't matter. He's still a human being, and he's a Jew, and we don't have to make these decisions. So now the guy's a Rodef, okay, fine, but look, he's alive. So how do you just go and kill him? And so that alone, that's not the way Rashi's understanding it, and the Mishnah is presenting it, the idea of Rodef isn't just to save a guy's life, because he's saving and killing. How are you trading? Ein docha nefesh mei nefesh is the principle. So the answer is no. You're matzilin the guy from avera. Is that here? That's the factor here. That's what allows the whole thing to tick. Is that you have atzala me avera from a serious avera? I mean, that, I guess you have to draw the line. What avera warrants you to step in here? I mean, that itself is something we have to get into. Yeah, it could be the same thing.
I'm just wondering.
I mean, it could be Rodef, it could be self-defense, it's the same thing. Is that, look, how do I decide between me and him? Because he's a Rodef. Unless there's some other institution, I don't know, I'm just saying, we don't know anything about that. We'll get to that. Machtaris is a little bit based on self-defense, where a guy breaks into your house, comes up. But I mean, we'll get to that. But it's more complicated than self-defense, but he's not actually trying to kill you, he's trying to break into your house, but whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I'd say we can't come in with an assumed notion about, you know, bar. Right? Just as, just to defend the thing that rape is on par with death, I think it's Yad Rahman. I think that's who it was. He says that they're... there are women who, your average woman or a lot of women, will give their life to prevent themselves from being raped. Like over my dead body. You know, so that indicates that for a person, it's in the same category as being raped in a certain sense is worse than being killed. They'd rather be raped. They'd rather be killed than be raped. Like they'll fight to their death. Can you get killed? Just let him rape you. That's intolerable for a person. That's like the end of their life. They'd rather, they can't live like that. There's an idea of rape being in on par with you know, it's comparable to being killed.
You don't say it for a man, though. It's not the same thing.
Well, no, you do.
You do?
Yeah, if you're running after a man, also the same halacha. Well, it depends on you for a man. A man being raped by another man?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the same halacha.
Yeah,
you save it. You do say, yeah, there's halacha. Yeah.
This life applies also?
Yeah. If you're being raped by a man, they say it's worse even. Because it's more embarrassing. Because not only was he raped, he was involved in homosexual sex, you know. It's different, another thing.
You know? I just don't think it's good to serve it if it did not work out.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it? Oh, yeah, whatever. But I'm trying to show you that there is a sense. They talk about the idea of them being in the same category. But it's machlokas, and we'll get to it. It's machlokas. It's not so simple. But I'm just saying there's sense to it. I mean, I'm trying to give a sense to the, you know. The says it's greater. I mean, they say, I mean, rape of Rios, the Gemara calls it Begama Rabba. It's a great degradation as opposed to a weak one. First of all, it says our kids are mamzerim. You know, our kids are, I mean, it's worse, it's bad. I mean, it's different. Socially, the whole thing. I mean, are the kids socially going to be, okay, it's a whole different thing. If a person involved in it, not every rape is different. It's not the same thing. It's different. Especially in a society which, the whole fabric of Kedushas Yisrael is that we remove from Rios. There's certain things that are just off limits. And here, she's the woman who is broke the arayos. I mean, it's different. It's true she was forced, but it's different. Different than she's just raped with a single guy or whatever, versus, like you see, for instance, I mean, this isn't exactly the thing, but there's like a phenomenon of date rape. You know, there's a term like that. It's not the same embarrassment of a girl if she's raped by a random guy versus, you know, it's not arayos, a random guy. But I'm just saying is not every rape is the same. Rape is rape. There's one thing that she's being forced, but then who she's sleeping with. She's with a certain terrible guy. Is it an erva? We don't have ervas. Arayas is not, doesn't mean anything in our world, in our society. But in the framework of Pagam, it's a difference. In the framework of the world of Kedushas Yisrael, where Arayas is the antithesis of Kedushas Yisrael, there's a difference of being involved in rape versus rape of Arayas and regular rape. But these are questions. I mean, all these questions are coming up. This is where we're headed, and we have to get into all a lot of different parameters here. Just kind of throwing this out as like an opening, an opening move here. Yeah. So I have to.